morning. I wrote on the board, wits end. Common statement, you've probably heard it before. People say I'm at my wits end. God made us intelligent beings. Of all of his creation, he made us with the capacity to think and to reason, to be able to figure things out. And I think sometimes that we, and there are scriptures to this end that says things like, lean not to your own understanding and those kind of things. And we talk about it a lot. But I do think that if we're not careful, we'll put ourselves into a place that God didn't put us into. You are supposed to think and react to things and do things. To have a problem and fix it. And here's the truth. No, all of us do it. Does anybody in here pray about everything they do? You're not supposed to. I'm saying that's not the way God planned. God knows this. You know, there's a scripture one time where the children of Israel, it was in the day of Joshua. After Joshua led the people across Jordan, and they come in and they went to the, remember the story of the city of Jericho. God told them what to do with Jericho because Jericho was too big for them to deal with. So God told them, now you're going to run into Jericho first off. And here's what you're to do to be able to conquer Jericho. They would have never come up with that process by themselves, nor would they have had the power to execute it. But God dealt with them about that situation that was too big for them to do. And then after they done that, you remember the story of Ai? Do you know that that was not illogical or unreasonable for them to do what they done? They looked at it and said, it's a little place. We're much superior to them. There's no reason to bother everybody here. Let's just send this little group over there to take care of them. Should be an easy job. You know, that's not illogical or irrational. And God didn't punish them because they didn't pray about it or anything like that. They was mistaken because there was evidence and things there that they couldn't see at all. But when they got defeated, there was a different attitude, wasn't there? You know, if I'm going along and my mower quits, I don't fall down on my knees and start praying. I go get the gas jug. Because that's the logical thing to happen. Sometimes I'll take the cap off and it's half full and I'll say, uh-oh, something else is, if something else caused it, I'll jerk on it. If it don't start, I take the plug out and see if it's fouled out. There's a logical order about things that we commonly do. There's nothing wrong with that, and we shouldn't get ourselves into a bondage or a thought that, because I heard something today, I think Keith said it, that is so true. Living for God is not radical. It is not some radical behavior. The plan of God and God's salvation works for farmers. It works for housewives. It works for practically, it works. If you know how to mix ingredients together in a bowl, you don't have to pray about it first. God made us rational. If what you're doing don't work, we've got the ability. We think sometimes in some kind of spiritual place there is that I should walk around with the Spirit. It's practical. It's rational. It works for the mechanic. It would be a good idea about pray about your day's activities ahead of time. I would recommend that we all do those kind of things. But I would think that we probably all would conclude, I mean, Tyrell, I'm going to pick on him. He's the mechanic. I'm assuming that if he gets anything done during the day, that he doesn't pray about every spark plug that has to be put in. He doesn't pray about every oil change that has to be done. He doesn't pray about... There will be things in the course of his day that more than likely that he's going to have to say, Lord, help me here. I got to my wit's end. I don't know what the next... I've heard mechanics actually pray about this. So I'm telling you, that's what happens sometimes. But what they do... What they do is they do what's normal, what the normal process is. You know what I'm saying? We do the natural things that we do. There's a scripture in Psalms 107. I'll start with the 21st verse. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works in rejoicing. They go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is mounted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. I think I was supposed to put that in there, Brother Mansell. They're at their wit's end. What did they get to? Here's the definition. You know, you ever hear of the word wit? Wit would be described, I think, if you looked it up in the dictionary, would be, a quick mind with humor, probably. A wit would be a quick mind with humor, something like that. But wit's definition is the power to think or reason. We have the power to think and reason. God made us to think and reason. And we understand things in God's world because He gave us the power to think and reason. This is when you're saying this statement that we've all heard many times. I'm at my wit's end. What it means is that I've run through all of the thinking, the power of thinking and reasoning. And I've run out with the ability to fix this problem. Because, to be honest with you, we run into problems daily, right? I mean, we run into things on a regular thing, and how do we do this? And so to the farmer that runs in and says, I don't know how to help this cow. I mean, I don't know how to do this anymore. Or I don't know what to do. Or the mechanic that says, I've tried every test. I've done everything. Lord, I need something more now. I don't know how. A relationship problems usually are big ones, right? And we go through the relationship thing. I've apologized. I sent a gift. I sent a card. I've baked a cake. I've been warm. I've been fuzzy. I've done whatever it is, and I've not been able to break through. I've not been able to do anything. Lord, I don't know what else. I have thought through the processes of the power that God gave me, of mental intelligence, a power of being able to reason. Some's reasonable more than others. We all have the capacity to know 2 + 2. We all have the ability to do this and to say that what do I do now? Sometimes we get into our spiritual, we get into spiritual places sometimes and we say, I don't know why I'm weak in this area. I don't know what to do about this. And so many go to the altar and they say, okay, what do you do? Well, this is normal function of what I'm doing. You're spending too much time at this. You know, this is reasonable. This is the way reasonable minds work. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I tried to find why is this happening this way?
The sailors here that he's talking about, they go down and they know, folks, it's reasonable. They have learned when to throw the anchor. They know when to bring the sails down. They know which way to point the ship into the wind. They know how to, do you know a ship, I don't know how they all can do it, but they can sail back and forth with those sails by catching the wind at angles, and they can go places that you'd be surprised at the angles that they can take and sail. It takes a while. It ain't like a motor, but they can use the wind to drive because they understand. They don't have to, once that understanding is given, thank God gave it to us. But you know, there's a time that everything that they could know, and this is what this is talking about. God is good. And sometimes He brings people to the place to say, you know how to sail, but now what are you going to do? You know how to run your course of your life. You know, this is the mercy of God, and we should look at it to the mercy of God that when we run into our wits' end, it calls for God. This is what this is. Scripture is talking about. The sailors go down there and the winds pick up. You have to have wind to sail. They want wind. Sailors want wind. They want a good, brisk wind. But this starts too much wind. Now, at what point, we know how to do this, but what point do we drop the sails? What point do we drop the anchor? Now the sea's raging. And now I'm losing complete control to the point that I throw the anchor, but it don't hold. I pull the mast down, but the ship's still moving. I point it the right way, but it's still going towards the rocks. Now what do I do? It says there that these people, they reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and at their wits' end. Now I don't know what to do. All my reason, this is the normal function. Folks, it's rational. It's not radical. Living for God is learning and thanking God for it and living your day within the realms of God and the understandings that you have. I knew somebody that got into this thing. They read the scripture that you shouldn't say that. You should say, Lord willing, I'm going to the city tomorrow. And so they got into this so carefulness that they would say, well, wait a minute, I got to go to the bathroom, Lord willing. This is not a joke. They would say, wait a minute, Lord willing, I'm going to get me a drink of water. Lord willing, I'm going to do this. Okay, that's good. That didn't last too long, but that there's nothing, I would say nothing inherently wrong about that. But that gets into the point of radical. This is rational. It's practical. What it's saying is that the things beyond my capacity, I don't know whether I can make it to those things or not. It doesn't mean that it has to be said or expressed. It means that there's a heart to say, God is in control, and I don't know that I can do the things that I do, but by God's grace, I can do it. You know, I've got to my wit's end before where I didn't know what the next step should be. I didn't know what to do. This scripture says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Why didn't they pray? Could they have prayed and not got in trouble? I had somebody recently tell me, one of my foreign friends recently said to me, he said, I'm going to be praying for you that God will keep you from every trouble and that you'll have no trouble in your life. Well, you want to know how I answered that back? I said, you pray that God will give me grace to do what I should do in the middle of trouble. because listen, my faith doesn't take in the no trouble thing. The Bible doesn't teach it that way, but He teaches grace to get it. So why did they come to this point? All of a sudden they're at their wit's end, and it says, then they cry unto the Lord. It's because And God knows this about us. This is the reality of it. God knows it takes the wits in. No matter what we do, we're supposed to. It isn't not spiritual. You're not a non-spiritual person because you do the things that God's allowed you to learn to do. It's not unspiritual. But there is places to where we all recognize, and God uses this, recognizes that we're our inability to run the life around me, that we can know that the storm is too big for us. We can know that the places are too far for us, to know that trouble happens, to know that things do happen, to know that difficulties happen, to know that I can't stop. I was thinking about, because we got another vehicle and we was kind of excited about, I always get a little excited about the new vehicle, Yeah, you're not going to eat in it. Yeah, okay. First trip, halfway through. I mean, something. But we were excited about it, so my mind went through and I thought, I think we've hit at least one deer, if not, we hit at least two or three with this last one. I think we hit deer with about every vehicle we've had for the last. Anybody got any ideas? I don't think there's anything wrong with putting those deer whistles on there. I don't think there's any wrong with the things that have happened in there. I just think some things are unavoidable. I think things happen. I think things happen in life. I can't manage the other guy that's driving. I can't control the weather. I can't control the wind or the sea or the things that are around it. And so God allows us to know what we know and to do what we do. And you know how to bake a cake. You don't have to fast and pray about it. If you do, do. But if you don't have to pray, you can thank God. And this is practical. It's rational. We know how to do things. And God gives us the liberty to live and to do those things. And listen, I am not against or trying to put down any of saying that we need to be in touch or have God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there's a radical behavior that God, that the devil can put in our minds that makes us think that if I ain't doing this and this and this, lean not to your own understanding doesn't mean that you don't water your plants without fasting and praying. It doesn't mean that you don't sweep the floor without a 2-hour prayer to know whether you should or not. That is the devil pushing. God gave us an intelligence about it. Brother Sammons made the comment one time and said, there's some things you don't have to pray about. We already know. You say, should I love my neighbor or not? I better pray. If you can't love him, you pray for that grace. But you don't have to pray for the understanding, should I love my neighbor? Or should I do good in this situation? He's already told us to do that. And then we have understanding about this and we can do those things. I don't have to fast and pray for 2 days to know whether I should change the oil in the van or not. It ought to be changed. It ought to be maintenance. I don't have to wonder about whether I should put air in my tires. I'm just making a point here. There's things that we understand and do logically, and we do it every day, and we say that I don't have to pray about saying a kind word. I shouldn't pray about whether I stop. And I had somebody the other day, I looked out and it was at the end of my driveway. Some of you probably know this person. It was actually J.B. Kerr's daughter. Some of you may have knew her. Anyway, she was standing out at the end of my driveway, and there was no cars or nothing. She's standing out there on her phone like she was on her phone. I don't know if she was trying to get a hot spot. I don't know what she's doing. Anyway, I went out and said something to her, and she said, "Oh, we run out of gas up there. We was up on the Hammond's place and run out of gas. You wouldn't happen to have some gas?" I don't know. Listen, I don't have to pray. I pray, Lord, protect me from things that I don't see. I can pray about the beginning of the day, Lord, help me in this day and believe in the Lord. But there isn't time really at this time. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to pray about the fact that I said, well, you hit it lucky. I actually have. gas in my can today. Because I don't always, but I got gas in my can and I'll be glad to give it to you. Well, she said, well, I'll fill it back up. I just need it now and I can go get, no, throw a rock in somebody else's garden someday. You can do that. I don't have to. There's things that we have and we know to do. This scripture was talking about people that got to their wits' end and said, in all of my reasoning, ability to think, the power that I have to think and reason, I've run through everything that I can run through, and I'm at the end of my understandings. I don't know what to do. Is that all right too? Is it all right to express that I don't know what to do? I don't know, Lord, I don't know what to do. So now I call upon the Lord. Lord, do what no man can do. I don't know how to do this. I've told this story many times, but it was when Tammy was dying and things was looking and you can be attacked and these things was happening to me and I didn't know what to do and come down to this and the emotional strain of those kind of things on me and all the pressures and all those things. And I remember it was an emotional, spiritual moment for me because we have techniques. We have ways of doing things, right? You have ways of relieving your mind. You do certain things. Some people like to read. Some people do this. Sometimes you comfort yourself. Sometimes you encourage yourself. Sometimes you do things. Sometimes somebody else can do it. Sometimes like that. I got to my wit's end. I remember the moment, the time, the place that I was at my wit's end, my reasoning, my power, to fortitude, to withstand emotionally, all of those come to an end. I didn't have it anymore. I had no fortitude to say, I'm going to do this or this will be better or a song will help me or some of that, the techniques, the songs, the things like that. Nothing worked. I was at my wit's end. No power of thought or reason could get me out of that place. And there is where God brought me to one of the monuments of my life. This is the monument that He brought me to. It has to be this. It has to be this way. We've got to live life logically, rationally, and let God pick the moments and times to bring us to wit's end. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this problem now, Lord. I don't know how to problem it. And I pray, Lord, I'm at the end of the rope. I don't know what I'm done. Emotionally, spiritually, I'm done. I had no mind of quitting. I had no mind of this. Wasn't going to kill myself or nothing like that. I emotionally was done. And I called and I cried unto the Lord in my trouble. And it says, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. And I feel like that when I got to that place, it was one of the biggest monuments of my life. Because what I have now as a monument is the fact that I have this place in my life that I went all the way to the bottom, if you will, with no reserve. And I called upon the Lord. And it was like the Lord opened the window of heaven and I was poured out a grace that I have stood on and said, Lord, with that, I can do it all. I'm not bragging about me. I'm saying with that, I can do it all. There is nothing that I can't go through when the windows of heaven open. There's nothing that I can't achieve when I get to my wit's end. Oh, I can flounder around and try and you can wallow way beyond the point that you should with your human understanding. But I have to go by my human understanding. God works within the human understanding. God made us an intelligent being so we can intelligently converse with Him. Come reason with me, saith the Lord. Come reason with me. Talk to me. Use your mind of thinking and power of thinking to talk to me. How do you feel? Well, I can understand how I feel because I'm reasonable. Because I have a mind. And I can use that mind to say, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to think now. But I know, God, that You're in Your place. I know that You know how to take care of this problem when it's too big for me. King Hezekiah got into a place one time to where he knew what war was, right?
They knew what weapons they needed for war. They knew how to line their men up. They had been fighting. They were warriors. They knew how to do those things. And now a greater army than he is conquering the lands, comes sweeping through the lands, and Hezekiah looks and says, our little puny bunch of people, and they got weapons of war, and they're valiant men, and they're mean, and they're cruel, and here they come, and what am I going to do? You know, Hezekiah run into his wits' end. He didn't, I know what we'll do, let's go get the Egyptians. No, that ain't work. That was a thought, that didn't work. No, I know what we'll do, we'll dig some entrenchments. Well, that ain't going to work, there ain't going to be enough time. You run through the processes of your mind. And when he run them all out and he got to his wit's end, he said, Lord, we don't know what to do. I've thought about everything. Should we try to blow up something, or should we try to poison them? I mean, how are we going to get out of this? Reason. And it says they got, in the day of Hezekiah, he got to his wit's end, and he took the letter that Sennacherib had sent him, and he brought the letter, and he went in at his wit's end when he lost the power to think and reason the problem through. Don't have an answer. He come and laid it on the altar before the Lord and said, Lord, we're at our wit's end. We're your people. And we're going to, this is the letter. Read the letter, Lord. They've defiled us and you, and we're going to commit this to you. You know, the Lord had a way of taking care of, and it says, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he took care of them. Do you remember when Elisha, I think it was in the tent, and his servant was in there? I think it was Elisha, and he had been getting on the king's nerves and all this, and so they sent the army after to go capture this man of God, and they send him out, and he's in his tent, and the servant of Elisha looks out the tent and looks, and here's this great army. You know, he got to his wit's end real, you know, you could think, what are we going to do? We can't run. They're surrounding us. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here? And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And the hills was filled with chariots and horsemen, and the army of the Lord was there, but he got to his wit's end. He didn't cry till he got to his wit's end. Wit's end is a good place in a spiritual sense. It is a monument. Wit's end is a monument because it brings into the power of God in the realms of our thinking. Don't feel yourself bad because you go on with the normal courses of your day. It's not leaning to your own understanding in the sense that it was said that. That leaning to your own understanding is when you're conflicting the will of God and when you're doing what you think is you should be doing and you're not. It has nothing to do with the mundane and the natural parts of life that we do. We have an understanding on how to do it. And God made it that way. But within that, you'll come down to this place of wit's end. Moses had a wit's end, didn't he? A couple wit's end. One time it promoted his striking a rock when he should have spoke to it. How am I going to get these people to do what they're stiff-necked, hard-necked bunch of people? How am I going to... And he messed up. But what do you think when they got to the Red Sea, the Lord had delivered them out of a mighty hand, and they got out of Egypt, and by a mighty hand they went through, and they get to the Red Sea, and here comes the Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the horses and the chariots, and here it comes, and your back's up against the sea, and there's no way forward, there's no way backward. You're airing it in, and what would the human mind do? Grab rakes, grab a hose, get some rocks, let's fight. How are you going to do that? No, that ain't going to work. They'll cut us to ribbons, and all that's going to do. What are you going to do now? That's a wit's end. Human reasoning and ability is not going to get you out of this one. This is going to take a power beyond that. God led them to the Red Sea. God allowed the Egyptians to pursue them. God brought them to a place because he wanted the children of Israel to have a monument. You know, the Red Sea crossing was a monument.
that went down through the history and is still a history. When they got to the other side, they sung the song of Moses and of deliverance by a mighty hand, God. Didn't take them long to get out of it, but they had a monument that went down through the history of the Jewish people, of the deliverance that God had wrought for them right there. He brought them to that kind of a place. Do you remember the story of Jacob? Esau had 400 men, mean men, valiant men, and he had his family. And he's going to meet the brother that he had defrauded. He's going to meet that brother that was vowed to going to get him. And now he's got to meet him on the way and gets the word that here's Esau, your brother, and he's got 400 valiant men coming, and they're coming with grit in their teeth. What are you going to do now, Jacob? How are you going to supplant now, Jacob? What are you going to do with your wife and your children? What are you going to do with your sheep? And what are you going to do with that, with these valiant men coming down on you? I'm going to get to my wits' end. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to my wits' end because I don't know how to defeat Esau. I don't know what to do with Esau. Lord's going to have to change Esau. Jacob, that's the plan. That's the plan to get you into the place that you'll have a monument. You're going to wrestle. You're going to wrestle with God. And you're going to end up with your monument. Wits' end is, in the human sense, is not the bad place. It's bad because nobody wants to get to the place that I don't know what to do. I always like to know what to do. I want to be in control. I want to be in control of the things around me. I don't like feeling out of control. But you know, the Lord will allow us to get to a place sometimes where we're out of control so that we can. Paul actually got into a wits' end situation when he had the thorn in the flesh, and things had been working well for him, and he needed rid of that thorn in the flesh, so he prayed three times to get rid of this thorn in the flesh that was bothering him so much, and the Lord said, no, Paul, you need your wits' end. Because you've had so much blessings that you're going to be exalted, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring you to a place. How are you going to get rid of it? Well, if I could get rid of it, I'd get rid of it. I just can't get rid of it. And so he brought him to a place and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I'm going to leave you with the thorn. I'm going to leave you in the thorn so that you're forever in the place that my mind, my thinking, my power of thought and reason cannot get rid of this thorn in the flesh. You know, sometimes ailments to the body can be like that. Oh, we'd remove them right off if we could. We all like the instant get it over with type thing. But I'm going to tell you, they say nothing gets your attention quite like a constant pain. It'll get your attention until you start thinking, I'll rub it, I'll squeeze it, I'll lay on this side, I'll run this, I'll do that. And after a while, you say, what can I do? I better start praying. Lord, help me. Are you trying to talk to me? I'm at my wit's end here. The Lord is so faithful to us. He brings us to those wit's end. We'll solve the problems that we can solve, and we'll do the normal things that we can do through the day. But ultimately, those wit's ends has always been a blessing to God's people. It brings us to the place that we can see God. You pray for me.